In just a moment, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. But before we do that, I just want to ask you, if you've been here with us the last couple of weeks, if you've noticed something. Over the summer, we're thinking about people who had meals with Jesus. And I want to ask you if you've noticed who it is that Jesus chose to spend time with. And who it is that Jesus had time for. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at a story from Luke chapter 5, when Jesus went out and he found the worst person, the worst sinner he could. A man everyone hated, a man called Levi, who was a tax collector. And then Levi got all his tax collector buddies together and they had a meal with Jesus. And then last week we were in Luke chapter 7 and Jesus had been invited to a much more respectable dinner by a man called Simon, who was a Pharisee. But Jesus didn't focus on Simon. He focused on a woman who came to that party uninvited, again, who everyone knew was a terrible sinner. Jesus wanted to spend time with her. And this week in Luke chapter 10, we're going to see Jesus spending time with two sisters called Martha and Mary. But we need to remember that 2,000 years ago, Jesus lived in a culture that taught that teaching women was a waste of time. Isn't it interesting who Jesus chooses to spend time with? Isn't it striking who Jesus wants to get to know and who he wants to get to know him? It's not the obvious people, is it? It's not the nice people. It's the outcasts. The people others look down on. The unlikely people. So just before we read today, do we know what's meant? No, keep going. So just before we read today's passage, I want us to have a think. Let me ask you, if you can concentrate. Is there anything we can do up here? No, just keep going. Let me ask you, who are the people you know at work or at school or in your family or among your friends who you think would want nothing to do with God and who you think God would want nothing to do with them? Can you picture those people? Have you got someone in mind? Could it be that they are the very people that Jesus wants to get to know? Are there some people who we've kind of written off in our minds as people who would never be interested in Jesus? People who could never change? Or maybe people who our world has written off as never amounting to much? Could it be that those are the people that if Jesus was here now, he'd spend time with them? And given that Jesus isn't here now, could it be that Jesus wants us to spend time with them and invite them into our house for a meal or a cup of tea or over for a play or whatever? So that we could share our lives with them and show them the difference that knowing Jesus has made to us and give them the chance to meet Jesus through us. We're going to have our reading. Sophie, thanks.
At the home of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only me. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
What's on your to-do list? Maybe you're a to-do list kind of person. Maybe every day you need to write down the things you need to do, the jobs you need to get done, the things you don't want to forget. Maybe you live and die by your to-do list. Maybe you've got a to-do list for the weekend. It's been a while since I watched Gardener's World, but I'm pretty sure Monty leaves you with things to do for the weekend. Maybe you've got a list of things you want to do over the weekend, or maybe it's what you want to do over the summer. You've got time, school's off, you're not at work, the weather's good. Maybe you want to go fishing, go to the gym, find a job. Maybe you don't have a to-do list written down, maybe it's in your head. Maybe you've got a retirement to-do list. Maybe you've got a lifetime to-do list. Things you want to do, achieve, experience, enjoy while you have time. I think we've all got to-do lists. The more I thought about it, the more I reckon we've all got to-do lists. And I imagine they're all a bit different. But I think the story we're looking at this morning in Luke chapter 10 tells us there is one thing that should be on all of our to-do lists. In fact, I think that tells us there is one thing that should be at the top of your to-do list and my to-do list every day, every weekend, every summer, and for the rest of our lives. And I think it might come as a surprise. So I'm going to pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that we can read it and hear your voice and listen to you. Please help us to do that now. Please help the kids upstairs do that now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way. It's a bit vague, isn't it? It doesn't really tell us when this happened or where they were going. This part of Luke's gospel is not chronological. Have a look at just back a bit at chapter 10, verse 25. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and tested Jesus. Or look at chapter 11, verse 1. It says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and then the story goes from there. In other words, this part of Luke's account of Jesus' life, his biography of Jesus, isn't focused on what happened day by day, what happened next. Instead, he's brought together all these different stories that all share a similar theme, and the theme is this: what does it look like to follow Jesus? And in this story, the story of Martha and Mary, I think it shows us that a follower of Jesus is someone who listens to Jesus. 2 weeks ago, when Jesus had a meal with Levi, and last week when he had the encounter with the woman, the theme there was a follower of Jesus is someone who's a sinner saved by grace. That's what we've just been singing about. Who are we but sinners saved by grace? But now the story of Martha and Mary tells us that the follower of Jesus is someone who listens to Jesus. Verse 38 again. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. The first thing I want us to see this morning is the simple faith of Mary. Now, if you know your Bible a bit, you might recognize the names Martha and Mary. You might even know they had a brother called Lazarus who died and Jesus brought back from the dead. But I think this is the first time we meet these two sisters. But it's clear, isn't it, that already they have met Jesus, or they knew about Jesus. Verse 38 tells us that Martha opened her home to him. Maybe she was the older sister. Mary, you're living in my home. I don't know. But anyway, it's Martha who opened her home and invited Jesus in. And then Mary comes and sits at his feet to listen to what Jesus has to say. And it is a lovely picture, isn't it? This visit clearly wasn't planned. Jesus and his disciples were on their way somewhere, but Martha wants to spend time with Jesus. And so she invites Jesus in. And when Mary hears that Jesus is in their home, she stops whatever she was doing and she comes and listens to him. Whatever else it was she was doing that morning, whatever else was on her to-do list, at that moment, it was less important than listening to Jesus. Think of how privileged they were. For hundreds of years, God had spoken to his people, Israel, by speaking directly to individuals like Moses and Abraham and Isaiah and people like that. And what he'd said to them was written down and it was recorded. But people didn't have their own copies of the Old Testament back then. You couldn't sit and read a chapter of the Bible first thing in the morning over your coffee break or at lunchtime or just before bed. There may have been a copy of some of the books of the Old Testament kept in the local synagogue, but that was it. That was how you could go and hear God's word. And then Jesus came. Jesus, God the Son of God, become man. Jesus, the Word of God, he's called. God's message to the world. And now here he is sitting in their front room, having a cup of tea, or whatever they had back then. So Mary dropped everything and she came to listen to him. Whatever else she was doing got scrapped because she could listen to Jesus. But friends, think how much more privileged we are than Mary. Because if you and I want to listen to God, we can just pick up a Bible. And we've got the whole of the Old Testament, all of what God said to Moses and Abraham and Isaiah and all the others, recorded for us and translated for us in a language that we can understand and read. And we don't just have one copy of the Bible kept here at church that we come and hear read to us once a week. You've got one on your laps, in your hands, on your shelves, at home, on your phones. And no, we don't have Jesus himself sitting in our front rooms. But we can sit in our front rooms, or on our beds, or in our gardens, and listen to his word. Because we have his words. And all the things he taught to the apostles to pass on to us, we've got them written down for us in the New Testament. When Jesus was on earth, he and his words could only be in one place at one time. But now we've got them written down. We can read them and listen to him anywhere, anytime. It's an incredible gift, isn't it? And if you know Jesus like Mary did, then you'll know why his words are such a gift. Jesus once said, "I am the light of the world." And if you know Jesus, you'll know he is. His word is like light shining onto our lives. It's like walking into a dark room and flicking on the lights. You can see everything. You can understand. His words reveal the truth to us. They show us what to believe, what's right and what's wrong. They show us how to live, what's dangerous, what's good for us. Jesus once said, "I am the bread of life." And he is. Jesus' words feed us. They nourish us. They give us strength when we feel weak. They keep us going when we're ready to give up. They give us everything we need for every day. So do you see, whatever else Mary was doing that morning, whatever else was on her to-do list, it got trumped as soon as Jesus arrived. Whatever else she was going to do, she was going to make sure she took the incredible opportunity to listen to Jesus. So friends, let me ask you, could the same be said of you and me? Does reading the Bible, listening to God speak, because we can, and because it brings life? Does it come first on our to-do lists? Do we plan our day around that? Because that's what's most important. Someone recently showed me a feature on my phone. It's quite an embarrassing feature. Maybe it's on your phone. That shows you how long you've been on your phone that day. And it shows you how you spent your time on your phone. Today you spent 3 hours, 34 minutes on your phone. You spent 20 minutes reading the news. You spent 2 hours and 45 minutes on WhatsApp and 34 minutes on YouTube. What would that say about your day? We make time for the things we love, don't we? We spend time on the things that we think are important. So do we spend time every day, every week, listening to God? Reading the Bible? A follower of Jesus is someone who listens to Jesus. And look at how she listened. Because there's listening and there's listening, isn't there? Right? We listen to the radio. We listen to music. We're not really listening. It's just noise in the background. When our teacher says, "Are you listening?" we say, "Yes, sir." But actually, we were daydreaming out the window. That's not the kind of listening that Mary was doing, is it? Look at verse 39. It says, Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. She sat at his feet listening. You can just imagine her, can't you? Staring him in the eye, making sure she doesn't miss a thing, drinking it all in, hanging on his every word. She's not playing with her hair. She's not doodling. She's not daydreaming. How could she be? These are the words of life. This is light. This is truth. This is joy. This is hope. This is safety. This is security she's hearing. This is the word of God. Friends, is that how you listen to Jesus? Is that how I listen to Jesus? I remember someone telling me once that getting ready for church starts with a good night's sleep on Saturday. And I remember, I'm embarrassed, but I remember thinking at the time, that's taking it a bit seriously, isn't it? Not if it's God's word we're hearing on Sunday morning. Because you know, if you have a late night on Saturday, church is hard on Sunday. When we read our Bibles at home, do we make sure the phone is on silent and there are no other distractions? In fact, I hate to sound like an old person at this point, but I'm going to make a plea. And I apologize if this is you right now. Please don't read your Bible on the phone. I know it's on your phone. It's on my phone as well. I know it's easy to read. Please don't read your Bible on the phone. And you know why? Because halfway through it will ping. And a notification will pop up and tell you some very important, totally inane fact about Donald Trump. You don't need to know that. You need to hear God's word. In 5 weeks' time, we're going to move to the high school. We're working out how that works and how we take everything from here up there every week. Don't worry about it. We'll work it out. We were thinking about Bibles, how we get Bibles up there every week. One of the things we're going to do is encourage you to bring your Bibles. Please don't bring your phone. Phones are great. Just not for concentrating on God's word. Here's a challenge. Don't bring your phone. Just bring your Bible. You can talk about that afterwards. Thank you. Mary was listening to Jesus, letting God teach her. And her posture is so beautiful, isn't it? It's so humble. She sat at his feet. She is letting Jesus, wanting Jesus, inviting Jesus to correct her and instruct her and transform her and rebuke her and train her and change her. Friends, is that our posture when we read the Bible or come to church? A follower of Jesus is someone who listens to Jesus. So do you and I listen like Mary, or do we get distracted like Martha? See, that's the second thing that we see in this passage, the easy mistake of Martha. Now remember, it was Martha who invited Jesus in. She loved Jesus too. In fact, I think it's reasonable to assume that whatever she was doing for Jesus. While Mary was listening to Jesus, she was busy doing things for Jesus. Maybe she was making him a meal. Maybe she was fixing up the spare room bed just in case Jesus wanted to stay. We're not told exactly what she was doing, but look at what we are told in verse 40. It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. While Mary was listening, Martha was distracted. And I think we could say that the lesson from Martha is not to let ourselves get distracted. There are so many things constantly going on in our world and going on in our lives that it is easy to be so busy that we never make time to listen to Jesus. And I think that's true. And I think we need to take that warning seriously. If we're going to follow Jesus and listen to Jesus, you are going to do less of the other things that the people around you do. Your kids are going to do less of the other things that their friends do if we're going to make time for Jesus. But I think there's a bit more going on here. Or at least I think the mistake that Martha made is a bit more subtle and therefore more dangerous and easy for us to fall into without realizing than that. You see, I think Martha was distracted from listening to Jesus by serving Jesus. Look at verse 40. It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. He says, Martha, Martha. Notice, incidentally, just how kind and gentle and caring Jesus is, even when he's rebuking her. I think we could all learn from that, couldn't we? Martha, Martha, he says, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. See, I'm not sure that what Martha was doing was wrong or wasn't kind or wasn't caring or loving towards Jesus. I think she was probably trying to serve him, and that's good, but it's not the most important thing for us to do. Yes, a follower of Jesus is someone who serves Jesus, but first and foremost, a follower of Jesus is someone who listens to Jesus. And friends, it's so easy to fall into Martha's trap. I wrote this sermon while I was with my family up in Keswick. This last week was the third week of the Keswick Convention, which is like a Christian gathering, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. And there's loads of talks and groups for kids and all sorts of wonderful things going on. If you've never been, talk to me about it, or lots of other people were there over the last few weeks. It's a great place to go to. Anyway, I was trying to carry on working while we were there and still get to some of the talks and spend time with my family. So I decided the best thing to do was to wake up early and try and get my work done early. So one morning I crept out of our motorhome as quietly as I could to try and let people sleep. I found a place to work, and I knew I just had like an hour or two to get into the sermon. So I sat down and I studied and I made notes and I was about an hour in before I realized I was doing exactly what Martha did. That was my quiet time for the day. That was the bit of the day that I was going to get to myself without all the busyness and noise and everything else. And what did I need to do? I needed to listen to Jesus and spend time with him. And yes, I needed to write a sermon. And that would come. But I'm a better preacher. I'm a better minister when I've listened to Jesus. I put serving Jesus before listening to Jesus. And look at what happens when we do. Look at verse 40. It says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations she had to make. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? What a thing to say to the Lord Jesus. What a thing to say to God. Don't you care? Don't you see? Don't you understand? Don't you get it? But friends, when we serve Jesus before listening to Jesus, that's what happens. We forget how kind and how gentle and how loving he is. When we serve Jesus before listening to Jesus, we start to serve him out of duty and not out of joy. We start to only think of the tasks that need to be done and we forget that we can do nothing without him. We start to resent his call on our lives instead of remembering the privilege of being called to be his children. Friends, let's not fall into the trap that Martha fell into. It's an easy mistake to make. A follower of Jesus is someone who listens to Jesus. And so as we finish, let me ask you that question again. What is on your to-do list? What's on your to-do list for today? And this weekend? And this summer? What do you want to do on your holiday and your retirement and in your lifetime? Friends, there are all sorts of great things we could do. And worthy things we could achieve and important things we could accomplish and manage and be involved in. But there is nothing more important or worthy or greater than listening to Jesus. Nothing will shape your life or change your life or improve your life or make your life full and fruitful more than making it your priority every day to spend time listening to Jesus. So let's pray. And let's ask God to help us make that a priority. Put that first. And let our time with him, listening to him, shape our every day. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful little story of these two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Lord, we pray that even now you would help us to listen to your word. Help us hear what it has to say to us as it's shone a light on our lives. Help us, we pray, to think about where we put listening to you in our everyday, in our plans. Help us, we pray, to be people who listen to Jesus, who sit at his feet and let his words change us and mold us and transform us every day, because it is in your word that we find life and joy and peace and hope. Help us to be people who listen to Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen.